Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, you are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, broadcasting live from New Orleans, Louisiana, where Super Bowl Radio Row is going on. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, Figgy Fig, somewhere around here somewhere.
There he is.
He just popped right back up. He is getting that content. Make sure that you follow us, Sports Radio 610, on Instagram. And shout out to Aaron Rabel, the unsung hero of these things, making sure that we sound good from here. And then, of course, also an appreciation of Byron Matthews on the ones and twos.
Quick tease.
Okay.
Aaron Raybould is how far away from me? A foot and a half, 2 feet?
Yeah.
Just to prove, when we get to confessions, that, you know, we say these things. Hey, would you say that in front of them? I'm going to say something in front of Aaron during confessions.
Oh.
That may not be real popular. May get my microphone turned off.
I don't like this setup. This setup is kind of crazy.
But it's all right. He's already contemplating turning off my mic.
That's right. Very good. Again, much appreciation to Flight by Yuengling helping us get out here. They are a presenting sponsor of this whole shindig. And then, of course, appreciation to Low T Center. Exclusive furniture for that hot seat. And, of course, Mo Karam Injury Lawyers who are helping us with the video stream, the live stream. That's how you can see us. Let's talk more about this offensive coordinator thing. We were just talking to my guy Charles McDonald, Yahoo Sports. I was kind of interested that I rolled out all the various names of the coordinators that this team has actually talked to, which is starting to get pretty robust.
Eight names on deep.
Like, I just thought in my head just a moment ago, do I want to read them again? And do I want to say all the names again?
We've heard them.
It's a lot of names.
We know the top ones, probably.
We probably know the top ones.
Yeah.
But of all those names that I threw at him, the one that he immediately was latched on to was Gerard Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. The continuity that exists. Like, what at this point, you know, we know that Chip Kelly is no longer there. We know that, hey, the way that this feels, it feels like it's a lot of young guys bringing some fresh feelings. Like, where are we now with this offensive coordinator search in your mind?
Yeah, what's next is kind of what we're talking about. And you say, you know, Chip Kelly is no longer there. We don't even know how much he was even there, right, to begin with.
Well, yeah, like just, he's just off the table. Yeah, and if you're wondering why that is, he accepted reportedly $6
million
to be the offensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams.
Crazy.
You might be asking,
own right.
Reggie, is there a quarterback that plays for the Los Angeles or Las Vegas Rams? To which I would say, not that I know of.
That would be a no.
Not that I know of. I mean, there might be one that is nominally a quarterback.
Yeah.
Not anybody of any real importance or significance. And yet, there he goes. Like, sometimes you get that money. However, we're here. What is indeed next?
You know, I started thinking about this when we were talking to Charles. You know, not only what next. I think the sort of the baseline of what's next is, I think we're going to have a decision here in the next maybe a couple of days, certainly by Friday. I think they've gone through the entire process. They're going through it pretty quickly. They're getting their interviews done. And they've given us a template of kind of the profile, if you will, of guys, for the most part,
yeah,
that they're going to bring in. Young, maybe a little more diverse background in terms of offenses that you've run, or at least have had a taste of different offenses. They're certainly going to – I don't think they're going to move on from three or four offensive linemen. There might be one or two that they do. So they're certainly going to have to work with what's here. And that does point – to Gerard Johnson, but not just Gerard Johnson. It points to Nick Caley as well, who might be a Nick Caserio guy, but nevertheless, D'Amico would be on board. It might, certainly.
And there are reports that Nick Caserio is the man, not Nick Caserio. D'Amico Ryans is indeed, he's at the helm of this. In fact, when I say there are reports, Jonathan Alexander, who, mind you, he is also on ground here in New Orleans. I'm sure that you will hear his voice on these airwaves sooner rather than later. He wrote a fantastic piece, over the weekend, I believe, about just kind of the search. And that's one of the things, in addition to a few other interesting things at the top of it that he wrote in there.
Yeah, and so that goes directly into my large report that I was thinking about with whether it's, whomever comes in. How it affects what D'Amico is doing with his team and his staff, and let me explain that just a little bit. Let's say Nick Caley gets the job.
Okay.
How are you playing that with Gerard? And how is Gerard thinking about that? Because let's be honest, he interviewed for offensive coordinator jobs last year.
Mm-hmm.
He interviewed for at least one two, including the Texans, offensive coordinator job this year. Then you're going to be the quarterback coach for someone who got the job you interviewed for? That's a little awkward.
I mean, yeah, awkward happens, but I mean, there's also one of the things that we talked about.
Or is he even going to get that job?
I don't know.
I
mean, I feel like it depends, right? Nick Caley is his – I mean, with any person, you take a job and you have the opportunity to hire who you want, right? That was the reporting when they fired Bobby Slowick and they got rid of Chris Josser and they basically left everything else as is. Obviously, some contracts ran out, but everything else, they were like, we're not going to do anything here so that the next person who comes in and occupies the space can do with it and mold it to the way that they want. And you would expect nothing less, right?
Yeah.
Because if you want that person to come in and be as effective as possible, you want to give them the free rein and the leeway to be able to craft their staff in a way that they best see fit in order to get the job done as they imagine they
could.
You're
right, but you're 100% right.
Yeah.
D'Amico loves Gerard.
Sure.
I mean, so it's like almost like...
D'Amico also loved Bobby Slowick.
He did, but he kept Gerard.
Sure.
He kept Gerard, when Bobby Slowick... It would have been easy to say, guys...
But Gerard... But that also falls in line with what leaves everything as is. And if somebody, if Nick Caley is the man, right, they will come in and they will determine who their quarterback coach is. Now, I imagine whoever that is, right? Nick Caley, Stenovich, whoever. They have their associations as well, but I think that what will also come into factor is, hey... It is probably a benefit to me as an offense coordinator to see a quarterback coach rather, that has a connection with this quarterback. That quarterback believes in him, and maybe that is helpful to me.
No, you're not wrong.
So, and I mean, obviously, there's still the opportunity for D'Amico Ryans to take that relationship and make that vital to what they decide with this offense coordinator. But assuming that he isn't it, I think that still could factor in on the decision of quarterback coach. But that's a whole other
really interesting because, you're Nick Caley. Dream job. This is something that you've been working for. And then I don't know if they're necessarily going to make you keep Gerard Johnson or anybody on the staff for that matter, but let's talk about Gerard.
No, that's assuming that Gerard Johnson does not ultimately
if he doesn't go on his own, which I don't think he would necessarily because, I mean, this is something that is near and dear to him and working with CJ and he wants to get the job and he doesn't want to necessarily move on from here. But it's the job that he also interviewed for. It just makes for some interesting things because, Nick Caley probably has a quarterback's coach in mind.
Sure.
That he would like to
Quite
bring
possibly.
In.
Yeah.
And then it ends up being him or not. I mean, it really is interesting, especially when the head coach clearly has an affinity for some coaches that he kept here, Lazor and Gerard.
Yeah, but...
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think this is a new juncture where other things are having to be considered. The thing that I've been thinking a lot about is, again, you talked about the group, the class of, I guess, in a way of saying, of guys that have been interviewed for this. And one of the things we keep coming back to is just the notable various different mentors that they've had and the various different systems that show up. The question comes back around for me, and it's one of the reasons why I asked Charles that a second ago, is there a system that you feel best suits what C.J. Stroud does, or at the very least what you would like to see them do? Like, are you in a place where you really would like to see remain in that, you know, Shanahan style, or would you like to see something different come into play here?
Yeah, I think this needs to be the sort of the hub. The hub of the offense is this Shanahan-type system, the Shanahan-Kubiak-type system, but not exclusively. And I think that's where, and we've talked about this, Bobby Slowick was kind of, you know, headstrong about not changing, whether it's the blocking assignment or whatever it may be, run game, you know, responsibilities, tight ends blocking. We've talked about all that stuff. So I think this is still the hub of the offense, but that's why I'm leaning toward guys that have had, you know, experiences in other type of blocking schemes and offenses as well. And that points to, I think it's going to come down to Kaylee, Gerard Johnson, or Stanovich. It's going to be one of those three guys. And they've all had those similar experiences.
Do you have any concern with them? I mean, well, I guess this is the thing. Like, I keep asking about the idea of like play calling, but it's very evident that that's not been the priority here for this in this search. It seems like the priority here is like some level of malleability to what you're bringing system wise to this offense. And it seems like we're both on the same page. Where I think with what you have here, it seems like what you're going to do is a different system. Where are you okay with the idea that you're going to see this offensive line look fairly similar? Because it does feel like that's also something that's here.
I think the faces are going to be fairly similar. I don't know if they're all going to come back, but I think the faces are going to be fairly similar. I think the most important thing that DeMeco is asking potential offensive coordinators is, how are you going to block this up? You know, they look at tape. They look at game plans and talk about the experiences that. How would you block this up? Because what we did not work. And so I think that's going to be where some of these other experiences come into play and help these guys basically get the run game going and still be able to use CJ and some of the other stuff.
I'm with you there. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Was there something else that you wanted to?
No, I just think it's a fascinating thing that's happening here. I do feel we're going to get the announcement here pretty soon. I can't imagine we're going to have any other candidates. Of course,
are there any other people out there that you could possibly interview at this point?
Exactly.
Like, you've interviewed so many people, and again, like, also with when you look at the type that they have, that was the one thing that I was thinking about is, hey, are they going to then start dipping their toe into the possibility of interviewing more experienced coaches? And I thought that, you know, that's where you might eventually get into that Chip Kelly vein. And no, like, this remains where they are. They remain in this pocket of things, and so that's what's happening there. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said, if the Chiefs are the visiting team in New Orleans, does that mean they get a crap locker room? No. They'll be set up They'll be set up pretty well. Speaking of the Chiefs, we haven't talked a lot about this game itself. One of the things I kind of want to do a little hater talk. Mm-hmm. If you're okay with it, is that okay? Can we
Who's
do a little hater talk?
Who's not good with a little hater talk?
And the thing about this, the Chiefs obviously going for the three-peat or the three-chief or whatever we want to ultimately deem it as. But I've been thinking about this, just kind of banding it about in my brain. Like, what are the things that could possibly keep them? What are the potential cracks in this dynasty of the Chiefs?
In terms of the game?
No, in general.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, who knows?
We can talk about the game.
Yeah, we'll be doing that.
But, like, in the entire – because, like, look, whether they win this game or not, I think a lot of people understand and believe that this is a Chiefs team that is still going to be one that you have to contend with going forward. And my thought is, what are the cracks in the dam that might actually bring this thing down?
Well,
sooner,
I mean,
rather
how long, how much more does Travis Kelce have in him?
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. It's just like, does Travis Kelce, you know, get down on bended knee and, you know, propose to Taylor Swift and then walk off into the sunset, especially considering how vital that particular connection, not with him and Taylor Swift, but with him and Patrick Mahomes. Well, yeah, who knows? All right, but what was that? Remember that story about Taylor Swift drawing up plays at points? Right, that was the thing that happened. But, yeah, the connection with Patrick Mahomes and him, like, that becomes very vital in those big moments. The thing that seems to carry them over is – you know, when big moments come up, that third down where you need a player, what have you, they have that connection. If that connection isn't there, could that be a thing that bring this thing down a peg, or maybe brings this thing down in a larger way? I don't know. Like, outside of that, what do you look at and you go,
what's sad? You know what's sad? Like, outside of that, you're like, well, maybe their receivers, no, they should be okay.
Dude, the last
they got
few
young
years
guys
been doing
now.
This
they got young guys now. They got, well, you know, all
was
this
it
stuff.
Wasn't it last year when we were looking at Kadarius Toney? Like, does that dude know how to, you know, fill out, like, read the playbook?
Yeah.
Getting out here and infecting games?
Yeah. And so you go, okay, well, what about the running game? Well, no, they'll end up being all right there, I'm sure, because, you know.
Pacheco and a big old Kareem Hunt still getting this thing
What
done.
About Patrick Mahomes? Well, no, he's young. He's pretty
right, like,
young.
Is there a
I mean, three Super Bowls under 30? You know, how old is he? You win three Super Bowls and you're under 30? I don't think that's going to be a worry, you know? And then, oh, the defense. Oh, no, no.
Yes,
the defense is going to be all right.
We talked about the idea of, oh, someone going to hire Steve Spagnuolo away.
That's the thing. Like, we need an AFC or an NFC team to step in and hire Spagnuolo just
Does he have grandchildren? Is there a way that we can be like, hey, you're not spending enough time with your grandkids,
just
my man.
To undercut the Chiefs. Just, you know, we're going to hire him. No, we don't think we're going to win, but we just don't want the Chiefs to win. Get him out there.
Is there anything else that we point to
what
here?
Like,
Andy Reid is getting to this place, right? Is Andy Reid maybe deciding to call it quits, the one where you can go to?
Why would he do that? He is obsessed with – I mean, he's sacrificed – hell, he's. You could argue he's sacrificed some of his family for this, you know, for this job. And, you know, why would he leave a team that could just continue to win Super Bowls?
I thought that you might actually have some here, and all I did was
Travis
just remind
Kelce,
myself.
It.
Yeah, it's just, hey, does Travis Kelce walk away and make this more? Okay, very good.
Or somebody just finally becomes better. You know, finally, you know, whether it's the Texans or the Bills or, well, it's not going to be the Bills.
The Lions. Or, I mean, but you're talking about in the AFC, the Ravens finally, like, not stepping on their foot, something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals
That's
coming through and actually.
That's about the only hope you got. It is sickening.
All right. Well, that didn't make me feel any better.
No, it didn't make me feel better either.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We have appreciation to Flight by Yingling helping us be out here on Radio Row. But coming up next, about that time when we do our lunchtime confessions, and we will lean into the New Orleans of all of it next.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.